I'm Patty Fidala, Dream Partner Catalyst and President and Founder of the Redwood Sisterhood. I'd like to welcome you to our TEL class, Become the CEO of Your Life. And I'd like to welcome those that are on the call live and those who are listening to this later on. And I'd like to begin by introducing today's speaker. Chris Kavanaugh, owner of Shift, is a speaker, author, and coach who specializes in helping others cultivate a CEO mindset in every area of their life, in their business, careers, and personal lives, so they'll thrive. She's an expert strategist with an amazing ability to pull her clients through difficult challenges to obtain the life they truly want, personally and professionally. If you have a desire to live your life on purpose, so you wake up every day excited about the possibilities and maintain an unwavering belief that you will overcome any obstacle to achieve your personal and professional goals more easily and consistently, Chris will be a wonderful resource for you to connect with and to make that happen. Chris's website is www.begintoshift.com. And we'll learn more about her in a second. So welcome, Chris.
Hey, Patty. Are you hearing an echo on your end?
I do hear the echo. I'm not sure what we're talking about that.
Yeah, it might be me because I'm on a cell phone.
Oh, okay. Is it me, only me echoing or for yourself?
What was that, Patty?
Now I hear you. I'm sorry. Okay, I tell you what.
I can call back in on my hard line if I need to. It's a Vonage line, and I just don't always trust it. But I can do that if you want me to. Is that better?
Hello?
Is that better? I'm still here. Yeah, that is better.
Oh, okay, you know what? I took it off speakerphone.
That was the problem. Okay.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay. Technology, gotta love it.
Okay. All right, well, if anyone who's not Chris, I need you to *6 mute yourself anyway. And then what we'll do is at a certain point after Chris and I get done with our conversation, we'll open it up for questions and you can *6 yourself. So thank you for diagnosing that problem, and I'm glad we don't have to restart.
So we do *68?
No, just *6. We'll mute.
Okay.
Yeah, and we don't want Chris to do that, so okay. But, you know, doesn't our flaws make us charming and endearing, Chris?
Yes, it does. It wouldn't be a telecall if it didn't have an issue.
All right, very good. Okay, well, what I'd like to do now is just let's jump in. And, Chris, tell us a little bit about how the concept of being a CEO became part of what you're about and what you try to help people with.
Well, you know, what's really interesting, and I think most business owners figure this out, is you don't know what your brand is until you're doing it for a while. So I really didn't come up with the CEO mindset concept until just recently. But interestingly enough, it's a concept and a philosophy that I've used my entire life. It just took a branding specialist to help me put words to what I was already doing and being my whole life. But just a little bit of background. The CEO mindset is this. When the CEO of Google or Coca-Cola or any one of the big old companies in the world goes to work every day, they absolutely must be thinking in a success mindset. They must have great teamwork. They must communicate well. They must be great strategists. They must be visionaries. They must manage their stress well. They must manage their time well. Basically, when they go to work, they are in charge of that company's success, and that's what they're being paid for. So the CEO mindset requires that you be thinking on a higher level so that you get what you want. All of your goals, all of your aspirations, whatever it is that you're trying to do, that's the CEO mindset. It helps you get that much more easily because you're thinking on a higher level. Now, if people would wake up every day and they would put the CEO hat on themselves for their entire life, that type of thinking would bring so much more success, so much more joy. They would get through obstacles more easily. Their challenges, even though they may be difficult, may not put them into such a difficult position, because they would know and believe that they could get through them. So it's just a completely different way of thinking about how to approach everything that you face every day. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and so what you're saying, too, there's a sense of responsibility that a CEO has, not just for the organization as an entity, but for the people that they're representing. And what you're saying is be more self-conscious about the fact that you have a responsibility for your own success and your own dream or your own plans in general. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I think the reason so many people on this earth are so frustrated and find life difficult in general, personally and professionally, is because they're being reactive rather than proactive. Part of having the CEO mindset is that you ultimately, just like you said, you take responsibility. You do not leave it to anyone else except for you to create the life that you want personally and professionally, which means when you get up out of bed every day, you and only you are responsible for making it happen. That doesn't mean you do it by yourself. It just means that you and only you are responsible to make it happen, regardless of who else is involved in the making of.
That's a really, really good point. So it's taking charge of your own life and just making sure. So in a sense, this is relevant for anybody, everybody. Even people who work for other people need to learn to take responsibility for their own actions.
Oh, absolutely, because you're never going to either climb the corporate ladder or get the next position or find the job that you want. You're never going to get any of that unless you are making that happen in whatever way that needs to happen, and there's a thousand different ways to do anything. But specifically for business owners, if you are becoming CEO of your entire life, you would be amazed at how much you enjoy it. Because for most business owners, they're constantly pulling their hair out trying to make it all work because there's just so much to do when you own your own business. But when you become CEO of your life and start thinking on that higher plane, you really get to a place as to where you're making better decisions, you're thinking more strategically, so things happen more easily. It's still hard. There's still challenges. But overall, inside, you're more confident. You're more at peace because you know you're doing whatever it takes to get it done. You don't feel so frustrated and out of control because you know you're doing what it takes.
Right. So what you're saying is that when you actually do take responsibility, you actually feel a greater sense of control over your life.
Absolutely.
Whereas that power away to somebody else, then you would feel a lot less in control and a lot less that you feel like, you know, things are happening to you instead of you being in charge of, you know, steering the ship yourself.
Right.
Right?
Right. And there's also the caveat that you can't control everything, so you have to be willing to let go of the things you can't control. I mean, for example, in my own business, I can't control how many people buy my services. I can't control how many people buy my stuff. I can't control how many people want to even talk to me. My job is to control the marketing that I do. My job is to control the proactive conversations I request. Whether or not they say yes or no doesn't matter. It's my part to ask for them. It's my job to talk about what I do in a way that makes sense, which means that goes back to sales and marketing, to learn how to communicate in a way that's more effective. So I have to proactively do what I can that I can control and then let go of the results and hope for the best. Because things usually happen when you do everything right.
And ultimately, one of the most important things to take control over is your own attitude.
Absolutely.
About everything that's happening. So,
absolutely.
Okay. All right. In your book, Stuck to CEO, you go over a shift process. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. The shift process is something that I created, again, in the course of trying to brand myself in a new and unique way. I discovered that the way I coached people actually did have a structure. And in trying to explain the structure, what I did was I ended up creating a fictional story with two characters called Jack and Joe. And just to be quick, because I know we don't have time to tell the whole story, Joe's a senior IT guy at a big company in a city, and Jack is the senior IT guy. Joe is the small business owner. And they're very friendly. Their families are friends. They hang out a lot together. And it's basically a story about how one day Joe is just fed up. I mean, personally and professionally, he's tired. He's tired of having to manage everything. He's tired of his business being so hard. He's tired of his clients not doing what they're supposed to do. He's tired of them walking away because they won't pay what he's worth. And personally, because he's a business owner and has all of that responsibility, he's tired of missing his kids' games. He's tired of not spending enough time with his wife. So there's a whole host of things that he's just really frustrated about. And he basically says, you know, life has got to be better than this. And when he's talking to Jack about it, Jack has the attitude of, you know, life isn't supposed to be easy. You're supposed to get through life and have fun, but it's not supposed to be easy. And Joe refuses to accept that. Joe feels like you should be able to enjoy life. And yes, life can be difficult, but the bigger percentage of life should be easy. And so they go through this whole story, and there's so much more to it. If people get the book, they'll see that. And through the course of him making his entire life better, he walks through this shift process, and it's based on the corporate ladder. And it starts out with him being a spectator, which is him kind of sitting back and feeling like life is passing him by. And he's at a place as to where he has no control. Things are just happening to him. And when he gets up and decides to do something about it, he ends up walking into what I call the parking attendant phase. And that's when he connects to the possibilities of what could be in his life. Then he goes through a process where he realizes, oh, if I'm going to take charge of my life, I have to know how I'm wired, because I have to know how I do things, how I think, how I perceive things, what my hot buttons are. I really need to own who I am so that I can step out more powerfully to get what I want. And so he goes through that process. And then once he does that,
What are you calling that step? Because you've got the
that's the researcher phase, and that's when you're researching who you are. You're taking, you know, personality tests. You're really digging in. You're asking for feedback. You're getting good old cold honest truth from trusted people around you about how you tick, how you react, how you perceive, so that you can get a figure out exactly who you are, so that you can start to do things in a more powerful way. And then the next process that he goes through is what I call the manager phase. That's when he's done all the research, he's gotten all the information, he's developed the vision that he wants for his entire life, personally and professionally, and he starts creating action plans to make them happen. And the next phase is what I call the vice president phase. That's when you have started implementing the action plans. You're consistently working on them. You've put systems in place. You've got things so that they're running somewhat smoothly. It doesn't mean that everything is happening yet, but you're in a place as to where you're starting to see results. And then finally, you become CEO of your entire life. And this is the phase where you really feel like you have a handle on your life. Again, it doesn't mean that everything is perfect. It doesn't mean that life is going to hit you with a tragedy and you're going to be run over. What it means is you are at a place that you are so confident in your abilities, your skills, and you believe that you can get what you want, that you are able to pick yourself up no matter what happens and keep moving forward, even if it hurts. So that's kind of the quick overview of the shift process, and the book goes into much more detail.
Okay, so let me see if I can summarize this, all right? okay, the first step, you're just spectating, you're out of control, you have no, you know, power, personal power, and then the first thing you have to do is be dissatisfied with that. Is that what you call your parking attendant? I'm getting up off the seat, and I'm just, actually challenging that notion.
The spectator phase is when you've actually decided that you're tired of it.
Oh,
the parking attendant phase is when you get up and you decide that you're going to think about what you actually want to happen.
Okay, then you figure out, you get feedback about who you are, and people tell you, I think these are your gifts and your strengths and your talents, and they encourage you in a direction. Then you.
That's the researcher phase, yep.
Right, and then in the manager phase, you begin to sort of create a plan for making something new. And then the VP phase, you start to work on things and you start to see a little bit of results. And then in the CEO phase, you're confidently in charge of your life.
Basically, right? Yes. Yep, that's correct. Okay. And again, the book goes into so much more detail. Yep.
Okay. So, and also in your book, you have something that you call your shift assessment. So what is that and how would people be able to use that?
That assessment is about 30 questions that I have people answer, and once they're done with it, they email me their chart with the total answers and everything, and then I tell them where they are in the shift process, and that gives me a really great indication as to where they need help and what they need help around. It's just a really great way to have somebody go, oh, I'm only a parking attendant, or yeah, I kind of figured I was a manager. So it just kind of helps people wrap their head around the different phases and where they are and what they need to work on.
Okay, so basically your assessment takes the steps of your shift and allows people to figure out where they are along that continuum.
Correct, okay. Correct.
All right, so tell us some stories about how you've helped people move along that continuum more successfully and how that's changed people's lives.
Okay. One of the clients that I love to tell a story about is an office manager. She came to me about 2 years back, and she was basically pulling her hair out. She felt like she had no control over her life. She was full-time mom, obviously, full-time job, full-time school, and every day that she got up, she barely made it through the day because of all the things that she was responsible for, and she knew that if she didn't address and get everything into place and start controlling her life, that things were not going to work out so well. And so we ended up working throughout her whole program to help her prioritize, to help her clarify what was really important, to help her clarify what she needed to let go of. At the end of the program, one of the things that she said to me was, I can't believe I feel like I have control over my life now. She set 30 goals when we started. No, it was 40 goals when we started, and we completed 38 of them. And the only reason we didn't complete the other two is because she decided she needed to let go of those goals in order to remain sane. And they were good decisions for her to let go of. So that's one way. Another way is I had a financial advisor who owned an Edward Jones franchise. He came to me. He was in his mid-50s, and he knew he was getting close to wanting to retire, and he wanted to learn to work smarter, not harder. So we ended up using his whole program so that he would start doing things in a more efficient way. He would start thinking in a more strategic manner. And by the end of his program, he was extremely pleased because he had implemented new procedures and systems. And he had gotten the people around him that were already supporting him to help him in a more productive way so that he could let go of things and delegate more and leave early more so that he could have more personal time, which was part of one of his goals. I have also had, I'm sorry?
I was just going to say, so from these two stories, it sounds like the ultimate CEO mindset shift is connected to having control.
Absolutely.
Basically becoming the one that is in charge rather than having somebody, some feeling that something outside of you is in charge of your time decisions, of your life planning decisions, of your goals. Just being...
Absolutely.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it really is. It's a mindset where you know that you're in control of everything that you have control over. And you know that, you trust that, and you do something about that. And then you let go of everything that you can't control.
Okay. Were you going to share something before? Another
story? I might have had another story, but we can move on.
But it fell out of your head, so that's
okay.
So what do you find that is the biggest barriers? I mean, the biggest thing that people need to overcome to really get this? I mean, what are the things that hold people back? What are the things that make this hard?
I think it's partially the huge feeling of overwhelm. I know that myself included, when I get to a place as to where I'm starting to feel overwhelmed, I shut down. It's like I'm like paralyzed. And so as a CEO of my own life, I have to recognize when that happens, and I have to do something about it before it gets to a place that I'm not functional. So I have learned in my own life, one thing that constantly prevents me being overwhelmed is taking time for me. So I, and you may laugh at this, but I actually take naps every day. It's my 30 minutes to 60 minutes where I can shut down and I can just be. And that allows me psychologically to rest, physically to rest, psychologically to give my brain a break so that I can come back when I get up from my nap and continue to push forward and do what I have to do. So that's my little trick to stop, to prevent being overwhelmed. There are other tricks that everybody does. Some people exercise more. It just kind of depends on how you're wired. If you know what's going to help you stay functional, productively functional, effectively functional, then you need to do that thing and you need to schedule that specific thing into every day so that you can do what you need to do to get everything done.
Yeah, so for me it would be some, you know, my time that I read the Bible in the morning and pray and just get my day set kind of thing. But, yeah, I mean, it also sounds like, but you said something earlier that sounds more difficult than just what you were saying. When somebody has reached the point where they're actually paralyzed,
mm-hmm.
actually feeling paralyzed, I mean, because, you know, there are levels of overwhelm. I mean, you know, I try to not even use that word in my vocabulary because just the notion of it can spin you out of control, you know, the idea of, oh, my gosh, you know, and one of the things that I usually try to advise my clients is to break it down and whatever is overwhelming you, break it into bite-sized pieces.
Absolutely,
but,
yep.
You know, but the other thing is that's what you do to manage before you get to the place where you're paralyzed, but you know, to get to a place of actual paralysis about your stuff, and you know, say more about that. I mean, you had said that there was a, you know, a lady that let go of two of her goals, and I don't know if that's part of the strategy, but when you really talk about when somebody has really reached a stage of paralysis, I mean, to go from there to, you know, getting past that.
Well, I haven't ever had a client who has gotten to that point because part of my program is designed to not allow that to happen. But what I can tell you is for people that I know, just friends and people that I've seen in my professional life, I always suggest whether or not they like it, they've got to take about a 24-hour break. I mean, just walk away from everything and get your head together because you can't fix anything if you can't think straight. and you can't think straight until you give your chance, until you give your mind a chance to relax so it can think straight. So that would be my best advice, is to schedule a day off. The sooner the better. Don't turn on your computer, turn off your phone. If you need it to be by yourself, tell your husband and your kids that you're leaving in the morning. You'll be back at night, or go check into a hotel room. Whatever it is that you need to do, just shut down for 24 hours. Give yourself that break. You know, bring a good fiction book. Bring something that you can get lost in. And just escape for 24 hours, and then schedule the next day to be strategy. Okay, well, what do I need to do so that this doesn't happen again? That would be the best advice that I could give off the top of my head.
Yeah, I mean, when I heard that, I thought, oh, you know, what would force you to relax more than, say, a massage? You know, I mean, something that would actually force you to stop.
Yeah.
You know, stop,
yeah.
It's like, get off the bus, you know, for
mm-hmm.
a second. And call,
yep, and in fact, Monday's my birthday, and I have not given myself a full day off in a long, long time. So I have decided that Monday.
Birthday.
Thank
Happy
you.
Birthday,
so I've decided that on Monday, I am not even going to turn on my computer, because I know if I turn it on, I'm going to work, because I'm just driven. I just do stuff all the time. So this is my way of shutting down. I'm not even going to turn on my computer. I'm going to get a book. I'm going to go hang out. I'm not going to check my phone. I'm just not doing anything on Monday.
Well,
that's going to be my day.
You're also talking about the importance of balance and needing to be
charged
in order to be fully functional and all that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so at this point, I'm going to ask that if anybody has any questions for Chris, that you *6, unmute yourself, and go ahead and ask Chris a question. So we'll see if anybody's got anything there.
Everybody's so quiet.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes people are shy about questions anyway.
No question is off limits.
Okay. All right. Well, is there anything else that you'd like us to know, either about your book or your coaching practice or whatever, that would help shed some light on this topic before we tell people how they can find you?
Yeah, I guess the one thing I would say for everybody that's listening is this. Everyone deep down knows when there's a disconnect between where they are right now and where they want to be personally and professionally. Every one of us knows that. Even if we're denying it a little bit, we still know it's there. So if anybody's listening and has that feeling of disconnect between where they are now and where they want to be personally and professionally, listen to that, because that's not just going to go away. And if you want to avoid feeling this way in a month, 3 months, a year, 10 years down the road, that means you need to do something about it. So take the time to investigate your options. You know, it doesn't have to be me. Somebody, help, get with somebody, invest in yourself, because the sooner you start making you a priority, the sooner you're going to have much more joy, much more success, much more peace. Things are going to click and happen, and you're just going to get so excited to get up every day, because you're going to feel like your life is more in your control. So I guess that's what I would say about that. And if you're looking for a really low-risk, low-cost way to do it, my book is a good option. It's called Stuck to CEO. The website is stucktoceo.com. You can order a copy directly from me that's autographed, or you can order it straight off Amazon, whichever one you'd like. And it's just a really low-cost, low-risk way to just get started. And if you want more, give me a call. If not me, then somebody else. But that's one way you can start bridging the gap between where you are now and where you want to be personally and professionally.
You know, when I think about what you're talking about here, I'm recalling my father-in-law and his life. He would tell and retell the story about how he never did this dream that he had, right? He had this dream of mm-hmm. your life, how, you know, people at the tail end of their lives, they just spend all this time talking about, they spend time talking about the regrets, you know? He erred on the side of caution, didn't go for his dream, and he just was almost obsessed toward the end of his life with that regret. And if anything, you know, when I'm thinking about, you know, people that are fearful or stuck or just can't imagine themselves, you know, having control and doing the stuff that they really imagine that they could do or want to do, and they stay there, they stay stuck, they just go, well, you know, it's too scary, it's too overwhelming, it's too whatever, and I can't make myself to do it. And the one major motivation that just comes back to me is just, do you want to die without knowing what could have been,
mm-hmm.
without achieving what you could have achieved, without, you know, really doing what you were put on the planet to do? I mean, is that something that you're willing to accept? And, you know, people are held back by themselves more than they are by others. You know, there were people that were encouraging to go for it. And he held himself back. You know what I'm saying? It's like it was his choice.
Yeah, and that's so true. I think most people, besides just the overwhelm of trying to do something new, it's the fear of, well, what if it doesn't work? And I can't tell you how many people never actually get what they want because they let themselves hold them back. And if they would just release and move forward in faith and trust and hope and have the right people around them, they would experience incredible success.
And you know what? Even going for something and having it not work is a less regrettable situation in life. You know, if you look at those reality TV
absolutely.
Project Runway, you name it, you know, they all say, you know, I'm so glad that I went for it. I didn't win, but I'm so glad. I learned a lot from the experience. It's going to make me a better person. It's going to take me down this direction instead of that one. But having gone for that, no matter how it turns out for them, whether they win or they don't win, you never hear them say, boy, am I sorry I did this. I mean, have you ever seen somebody on one of those competition-type reality shows ever say, I'm really sorry I did this? They never say that because they always say, I learned a lot, it helped me grow. I mean, and so at the end of, you know, their lives, they're going to say, you know, I didn't win Project Runway, but you know what? It changed my life anyway. I didn't mm-hmm. win American Idol, but it changed my life anyway. You know,
yep.
So going for it is so much more rewarding than staying stuck. You know.
Well, and every time you take a step out, you see further. To use a metaphor, it's like when you're at the bottom of a mountain and you can't see the top, but you trust what's at the top is what you want, and the higher you climb up the mountain, the more you can see, so the more options you have, and then the higher that you climb up, the more people that you run into that are either on the same path as you or already have been there that can give you a hand up. And so you have to take the first step to see what's next. Staying stuck where you are does nothing. You have to move. And so I always tell my clients, if you're not moving, you're not giving yourself options. You have to move to gain options.
That's a good point. And I have another metaphor that I think relates to this too. I call it the grain of wood versus the helicopter perspective. If you're drilling down and you're just looking at that grain of wood, you might not even step back enough to see that it's part of a beautiful table.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Brett, if you go far enough and you're in a helicopter, you see horizons, you see opportunities that you simply can't see even if you're just looking at the table. You see what I mean? It's like the more you stretch yourself, like you said, the farther you can see, the farther your options become real to you and become visible to you. So, you know, just keep on moving forward. Keep on taking those risks. Keep on learning. Keep on partnering. And I think your point of getting people around you, supporting you, is a good one because, you know, when, you know, if you do it by yourself, that's when you're going to, you can't do it by yourself. You know what I mean? It's like you've got to surround yourself with people who are about supporting you, too. Because
and just to take another step on that, sometimes you have to admit you aren't, you don't have the expertise to get it done as quickly as you need it to, and that you have to invest in somebody else who can. And again, I'll use myself as an example. About mid last year, I looked at my business and I went, wow, I just, you know, I'm never going to get where I want to go unless I start hiring people who are far better at this than I am. In terms of the business operations, the business strategy, I'm a phenomenal coach. You can give me anybody, and as long as they want things to be different and are willing to work at it, I can help them get there. But being a business owner is a completely different set of skills. And sales and marketing I never had to do until I started owning my own business. And so I actually had to sit down last year and go, wow, this is going to hurt financially, but I need a business consultant. I need somebody who's so much better at this than me, who can strategically put me in a place that I can get where I want to go. And so I hired him. And then I went through a couple of months later, and he and I decided that now I needed a sales and marketing person to take the next step, and so I invested even more money. And let me tell you, every time I write those checks hurt, but those checks are getting me where I want to go. So investing in yourself is the absolute must.
It's an it's saying I'm worth it to surround myself with the support I need to be successful.
Yeah, and if you need help, then you need to pay for that help. And do not feel like you're being, what's the word I'm looking for? Don't feel like you have to be self-reliant because you were put on this earth with other people around you. So use those other people, even if you have to pay for them, use them. Because they will get you far quicker to where you want to go than you can get by yourself.
Amen, sister. And that is exactly the point of the Redwood Sisterhood, is that every single person, you know, because we're almost entirely solopreneurs, and everyone is really good at what they're really good at, but together we're like a whole package because you've got your copywriters, you've got your web hosters, you've got all these people that are specialists in something, but nobody can be this. It's kind of like my body of skills thing I do the Blog Talk show on. It's the whole body. You need the eyes, the ears, the nose, the shoulders, the legs, the hands, the heart. You know, in order for a body to be fully functional, you need parts with different functions, different purposes. And working together, you've got a functional body. And that's kind of exactly what leaders need to be, and it's exactly what everybody needs to be. So not everyone can be all that stuff, so you got to wrap those services around you in order to be successful, and it helps with the overwhelm thing that we were just talking about. So, you know, and that's one of the reasons we have time banking at Redwood Sisterhood, because then if you can't afford it, you can still barter for it. You know, let's get the support. So, all right. Anyway, how can people find you? And we thank you so much for all the wisdom and the conversation. Appreciate it. How can they find you?
You can jump on our website, which is www.begintoshift.com. For those of you who are listening who resonated with my message, I do offer a complimentary 15-minute Become CEO of Your Life exploration meeting. Just go to my website and you'll see a link to set that up. If there is any part of you that is curious, I am not one of those people that are pushy. If you don't want what I have after we talk, I'm okay with that. But at least have the conversation so you can figure it out. So that I offer at no cost. Happy to have that conversation.
And we will, anybody who registered for this call will send that link to you so that you know how to do that easily. So, Okay, and I'd just like to thank you, Chris, and you and I are working on lots of stuff, and I appreciate your contributions to the Redwood Sisterhood. You can see Chris's offerings in the center column of our website at any time. She usually has something on the calendar and something going on, so we appreciate that, too. Thank you so much for your wisdom. Thank you for all those who are calling. And I'm Patty Sadala. Together we grow stronger. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Patty. Bye.